Nick, just in general, what did you think was kind of the key to that offensive performance last night? What thing stands out in your head?
You know, just the overall execution. I think in the first half there, I think we scored on the first, whatever it was, four drives, and then we had those two three-and-outs before the end of the half. So there were positive plays. We had some conversions that came up in some critical situations. The fourth down play was good execution by the players. So, you know, the execution was good by the players. We minimized the number of negative plays that occurred. You know, took advantage of some plays. You know, the pass interference to Gronkowski down the sideline there ended up being a big play as a part of the drive. So, and taking care of the football. So I think those were important. You know, we were able to capitalize on some things there in the first half, and in the second half, being able to take advantage of the turnovers created by the defense and create points. You know, we talk about playing complementary football around here quite a bit, and we were able to do that. So just think the overall execution, minimizing the number of negative plays and no turnovers, you know, ended up being positive for the offense for that game.
You guys were scouting Brandon Spikes. He had a couple picks, a bunch of picks in college. Was his ball skills for a linebacker one of the things that you liked about him?
Yeah, Brandon did a lot of things. You know, he played the run well. They actually used him as a pass rusher in certain situations in some of their sub packages. So, you know, he did a lot of things well. I think part of it goes back to his instincts. You know, he reads the quarterback well. And for a linebacker, he was actually able to make a few catches on some interceptions. But, you know, I think, you know, he's an instinctive player. He's around the ball a lot. You know, for the most part, that's carried over. You know, and he's been able to make some positive plays for our defense. So,
Nick, this is Michael Vega from the Boston Globe. It was addressed maybe by Tom Brady earlier this morning and to somewhat by Bill Belichick about, you know, the effectiveness of the receiving core in terms of yards after catch. And we saw last night how important that was in several aspects. But can you maybe speak to that and its importance in terms of maybe, you know, changing the complexion of a game, changing, you know, field position and whatnot?
Yeah, sometimes those yards are some of the hidden yards that you don't see. But any time that you can gain more yards than what maybe the play allots for turn into a 5-yard catch, it turns into additional yards. Those are the types of plays that can keep drives moving forward. You know, even a couple of Wes's catches there in a red area and even earlier in the game, you know, just an additional 2 to 3 yards. And then run after catch, really, you have players that are good with the ball in space, so you try to get them in space. But it also entails blocking down the field on some of Danny's plays there. You know, Deion threw a few key blocks. Brandon Tate had a key block on a run down the left sideline there in the fourth quarter, whatever it was, late in the game. So, you know, I think it's a combination of things. It's a combination of players that are good with the ball in their hands, that are good in space, and then taking advantage of maybe some tackling or missed tackles in the secondary, and then, you know, your teammates coming into play to chip in and give you a block. So I think it's a combination of things. But anytime you can get additional yards after contact, it certainly bodes well for the offense, and at times can keep drives moving forward. I think it's come up at different points, even in the Minnesota game. You go back, Woodhead made the catch on third down, kind of in a critical situation, where he's able to gain extra yards. So those hidden yards end up factoring into continuation of drives. So it's certainly positive when you have more of those types of plays.
Does that maybe impact play calling and looking at, you know, the ability to attack a team, and as you say, you've got guys who can, you know, operate in space and getting them in space and wanting to get them in space?
Yeah, I think you call the play, whatever the play is called, and the play unfolds, and the quarterback reads it out, and once they have the ball in their hands, then it's up to the player to see what he can do after the catch. You know, and there's some guys that can do that, whether it's Aaron, whether it's Woody, whether it's Deion, whether it's Wes, even Gronkowski. They're different component, like a guy like Gronkowski, who you maybe wouldn't associate with run after catch, but he's a big guy who's hard to tackle and hard to bring down. So it can come in a number of different shapes and forms. Even in the running back, a guy like Ben Jarvis, you know, the yards inside to be able to gain maybe three or four additional yards after contact. I mean, so it, a lot of that is the player and their skill level. And, you know, the plays, we're going to call whatever plays we feel are best for that down and distance or for that game, and then what the player does with the ball in their hand, then that's how it unfolds.
Would it surprise you to know that, I guess the network last night flashed a stat that had the highest quarterback to receiver rating being that of Tom Brady to Rob Gronkowski? Does that stun you in any way?
It's hard to overthrow the guy. I mean, gee, he's 6'7", whatever he is. He has a large wingspan, so it's kind of hard to miss him. So you can't throw it over him. And, you know, Rob can go down low and catch the ball. So, Rob, he's got a good skill set. He's big, he's fast, he's strong, he's a good blocker. He has inordinately large hands as well. So, it's hopefully he doesn't miss too many of those, and it's hard to throw it around him. So, he's made some plays in some tough situations, even though the catch last night, I mean, Coleman was draped all over him, and he managed to make the catch. So it was a big play. It was a third down conversion that kept the drive going and continued the momentum offensively there in the second half.
Yeah. Nick, you guys obviously have the Bears on Sunday, and they made one of the biggest splashes of free agency with Julius Peppers. I remember when they were talking to him, his agent said, you guys are one of the teams that were also interested, or bidding maybe. How close did you guys get to signing Peppers, and how involved were you in that process?
Yeah, I think Julius is like any other free agent that was out there. There was a pool of players, a market. He was one of the players at that particular position. You know, we evaluate him just like we do a lot of other players as far as how detailed and how involved we were in the discussions. You know, that's something that we keep between ourselves and the player and their representatives, whomever they may be. So, I mean, Julius is a good football player. There's no question about it. He's been productive for Chicago this season. Not only him, but they have a pretty formidable front four, and they play a lot of guys, whether it's Adagene, Tuanea, Anthony Adams, Marcus Harrison. I mean, there's a lot of guys in that front four that pose problems. And then you go to the second level with two of the better probably linebackers at their respective positions in Briggs and Urlacher. So, I mean, Julius is a good player. He's been a productive player in this league for a long time, and that's continued. We'll certainly have to account for him along with some other folks next Sunday.
All right. Thank you, Nick.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Yep.